Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon for this evening is recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans. We read the first 11 verses of chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by our Father through his Son. Our journey under the theme "We Preach Christ Crucified" this evening begins in the Garden of Eden. Now, it may seem as if the Garden of Eden and the mountain of Calvary really have little to do with each other. They're so very far apart in time and in distance, but they're ever so closely connected. It was in the Garden of Eden that our first parents doubted God's love and didn't believe his word. And those sins led them to then commit a sin of action in reaching out and taking from the tree that God expressly had forbidden them to eat. Forsaking the image of God, they fired the first shot in man's long war against God. No longer would Adam and Eve enjoy peace. There's no more peace with God. There's no more peace with creation. There's no more peace between them. Instead of peace with God, there was only shame and guilt. Now with creation, they would have a constant battle to grow things, to eat the food by now the sweat of their brow. And that perfect marriage, those perfect children that they were going to have, were no longer perfect, but now were through and through filled with sin because of their rebellion. They lost immortality and incorruption. And now they and we must die in mortality and corruption because of their sin. And it is that sin that our Lord Jesus bore on the Mount of Calvary as our substitute. We preach Christ crucified because Jesus was crucified, bearing that sin and the guilt, suffering as a casualty in our war against God, so that you and I could once again, like our first parents, have peace. The Creator God neither instantly destroyed Adam and Eve when they disobeyed him, nor did he just overlook what they did. But in love, he barred them from the Garden of Eden so that they would not eat of the tree of life. Because had they eaten of the tree of life now, after the fall, that pain and that misery and that war with God would have gone on into eternity. And so God kept them away from that tree. And that's when we might say God planted another tree. A tree in the place of the tree of life, from which man would now regain immortality, would regain incorruption, would regain peace. And that tree is the tree of Jesus' cross. It is at the cross of Jesus Christ that our Savior won for us new life, manifested in his own resurrection from the dead. It is in that cross of Christ, manifested in his resurrection, that we have peace once again with God. We preach Christ crucified. Jesus' death on the tree of the cross established peace with God. And God gives us that peace as a free gift through the gift of faith. This is our justification that Paul writes about. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. People want peace, don't they? There's that old joke or that old stereotype of the beauty pageant contestants. And in the Q&A, they ask these beautiful women, what would you really like to see? And every one of them answers, of course, well, world peace. Who wouldn't want world peace? There have been very few short segments of time in our history when our country has not been waging war somewhere. A little bit closer to home, it's not unusual for pastors in counseling, when you talk to people about family issues, for them to say, I just would like to be at peace. We would just like peace in our family, instead of all the arguing and the fighting and the jealousy and the anger and all of those other things. So whether on a world stage or in your own homes, peace in our own homes, peace is something that we really want to have. The Apostle Paul writes to us tonight about the peace that God has given to the world and to our homes through Jesus Christ. It is a spiritual peace. It is God's peace. It is Christ's reconciliation of the world to himself in Christ. It is our reconciliation subjectively to Christ as he has given us faith. In faith in Christ, we already have that peace. The world already has that peace that we declare like the angels on Christmas night. The angels proclaimed that now there was peace in the world. And on earth, peace to men on whom God's favor rests. God's favor, his undeserved love, rests on the world. And there is that spiritual peace for men's hearts in Christ. Now, the angels aren't omniscient like God. The angels don't know everything. But in that proclamation, dare we suggest that the angels foresaw that day of Christ crucified? That they foresaw that day of Jesus' tree, that new baby's cross on Calvary? Christ crucified is the one and only through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Access into grace in which we now stand. Think of the Old Testament high priest. On the Day of Atonement, he would enter through the curtain into the most holy place, into the presence of God. If he went in there empty-handed, he would die. But it was by the blood of Jesus Christ, pictured in the blood of the sacrificial lamb in his hands, that covered his hands, that enabled him to enter into God's presence and receive God's grace to not die. To be at peace, even as a sinful human being, in the presence of the holy God through that blood. You and I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand before the holy God carrying Jesus' blood, covered in Jesus' blood. And that gives us peace. Tonight, when you and I confess to God once again the horrific sins that we have committed against him today as an offense of his holiness, we can be at peace because we're covered in the blood of Christ. When we are tempted to sin, when we are feeling, when we have a guilty conscience, when the fear of the unknowns of death begin to take over our hearts, we can be at peace. We are at peace because we are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ declares to our troubled hearts and our troubled minds that we have been reconciled to him. What does reconciliation mean? It is the cessation of war. It is the cessation of conflict. We preach Christ crucified, the cessation of conflict between God and us sinners. Such peace for our souls is born of heavenly love that comes to us even in the midst of our sufferings. Even in the midst of those warring times in our family. Even in those times when we are at war, even with our enemies, that blood of Christ gives us peace in those struggles. And in all the struggles that you and I must face as we bear our crosses, particularly our crosses as we are attached to Christ. As we travel in faith through these sufferings, Paul holds out for us the golden chain with the links that connect us to the hope we have in the glory of God. And these things God uses to keep us connected to that hope so that we don't lose it. And so he says they serve a good purpose. But we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering works perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. God has promised us no bed of roses, no pleasure cruise as Christians. The theology of glory is Satan's lie. Through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom of God. But we will enter that kingdom of glory. That is the hope that we have. That as we pass through these sufferings, that chain of perseverance and character and hope will keep us connected to that certain future. Since Christ has saved us by his death when we were enemies, Paul says, imagine how we'll be saved on Judgment Day. This is a really beautiful picture here. Paul reminds us that when Christ died for us, we were still sinners. And then he says, if Christ died for us when we were sinners, when we were at war with him, how much more now that the war's over, now that we're at peace with God, now that his life is ours, how much more will we be saved through his life on Judgment Day? Christ died for us when we were his enemies. When he comes back on Judgment Day, he will come to gather his friends, those who are at peace with him. And so Paul writes, we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. There's no longer a holy angel standing at the entrance to the Garden of Eden. There's no longer a flaming sword going back and forth to keep us from entering so that we would eat of the tree of life and have to endure our suffering and our war with God forever and ever. Nope, the inspired word of God leads us to another place. It leads us to a place where there is life, to a new tree. And that pathway is just as bright and just as clear as a line of lights down the aisles of a darkened movie theater, so that you don't stumble or don't go off the path. Those words of inspired scripture keep us on the path to our tree of life, the tree of Jesus' cross on Calvary. And there, in Christ crucified, we reach up and we take the food that gives immortality and incorruption and hope and peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.